Yeah, so I'm very, very excited. Today we have Hayley on the Becoming Cosmic Theory podcast, and I really enjoyed reading your bio, Hayley, because it's very, very metaphysical, and you channel quite a few interesting beings. So I want to start off by asking you, like, how did you get into this? Like, when did you realize you had these gifts and these skills?
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, thanks so much for having me on. And I having looked at my life from this perspective, I realized that I was born an open channel. And like a lot of us through through puberty and through being told that it's nonsense and through being told XYZ, we kind of close it down because we feel unsafe. But yeah, when I was a kid, I mean, I could see multiple timelines. I could see people's ancestors standing behind them. I would open portals in my kindergarten at the back in the backyard and go through into a different dimension to hang out with the unicorns. And I just literally thought that that was normal. And even now, my mum will be like, we used to hear you say about the unicorns and the butterflies, but we just thought you had a great imagination. And having done all of the work to really clear out the distortions and feel safe to speak about these things publicly and actually do this for a living, I've realized that that was very real. And I mean, what's the difference between imagination and reality anyway?
Well, exactly. It's a very fine line, isn't it? I think most of us have those kind of feelings sometimes of, either I'm really, really in tune with these beings that communicate with me, or I've completely gone off the rails.
Again, like what's the difference? Like it, and I know that if you can imagine it, it either exists in the quantum and you're tapping into it, or you've created it. So what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. There is no difference. So that must have been really interesting as your parents, like for you growing up, because I know you're a mom. So you've got, is it just one child you have? Yeah, I'm get is it a boy? For some reason I've got a sense it's a boy. Yeah. Okay. So is he the same? Like, is he picking up on certain things, or are you noticing like your gifts through him?
Yeah, absolutely. It's very interesting watching him. Like, he'll listen to a song and be like, "Oh, that was on at my last funeral." I'll be like,
Oh,
"Oh, that's cool, yeah." And he'll channel. He has an older humanoid being that comes in. If I'm feeling upset, he'll come in and say, "Do not cry, Papa's here." And so, like, so yeah, he's channeling a version where he was the adult and I was the child, and so. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love that. And I think, like, I mean, our kids, obviously, they don't know that they're living really nowadays, do they? Because like we're growing them up in such an open way that we're just talking about this stuff as if it's normal. I talk about fairies and clearing energy and dreams and how to protect yourself and all the things with my kids, whereas I can't even imagine a space where I would have been given like the freedom to talk about that as a child. It just wasn't a thing. I don't know what your parents were like with you.
No, we were pretty stiff upper lip English, and so we'd sit around the dinner table and talk about the weather or things like that. We didn't really get into the emotional sides of things, whereas Wolf is my son's name, and this is his house, by the way, so you'll forgive my background. If you can actually see me, this is Wolf. He's seven, and actually, I have a really interesting living arrangement with him and his father, and we can talk about that if you'd like to. But this is his house, and so this is his background. And we did get diagnosed with autism and ADHD, which actually has helped us in the school system have a little bit more of that like room to talk about these kinds of things without being told that it's nonsense and that kind of thing. And so that's actually been really helpful for us.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think a lot of us can relate to being on the spectrum somehow when we're tapping into these different energies. So, I think in your bio you mentioned about channeling the mantis. I'd love to talk about that and hear some of your mantis. You're open to that.
Oh, I love the mantis. When the mantis first came in, They are not humanoid whatsoever for me. They exist as l living conscious geometry, calculus, mathematics, and they sit up there and they process data like this. And I never really, I'm a genetic engineer. I have a master's, and I never really understood why I was intuitively kind of pulsed to study genetics until the mantis came in. And I realized that, being a genetic engineer has given me the ability to process large amounts of complex data, connect it all in a really new way so that it makes sense, and then, linearize it, because genetics isn't linear, the same as quantum physics, and then present it in a way that the layperson can understand. And so that ability has come in really useful when I'm channeling the mantis, when they're just downloading like masses of information down into me. So I process it and then, take the nuggets that the humans need. And vice versa. I absolutely adore to receive a lot of data from a lot of people. So I hold space for some really big groups on the internet, so that I can channel and receive information from all of them and send it back up. So, like I said, the mantis are the least humanoid of all the beings, I've come across. They don't have physicality at all. They've completely just given up all physicality when they present to me, because when they present to others, it can be different for sure.
Yeah, no, whenever I've tapped into the mantis or done some integration work with for other people around the mantis, I see them as like in their obviously energetic form, but like insectoid form. They're not geometrics as such, but they are, yeah, insectoids, yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, in their geometry, you can sort of sense the mantis shape in there. And what they're really, really amazing at is they just came in. They're really good at teeny tiny little pivots, minuscule, microscopic. And I mean, and we're talking about quantum physics here, but like the tiniest little minuscule pivots. This is what they're amazing at, the precision work. Is where they come in, and they have a they're very bland, they're very direct. They don't really take emotions into account. And so sometimes when I'm channeling the mantis, I get to bring my emotional intelligence in so that I can soften soften the message a little bit, because it can be a little bit harsh, yeah.
Love that. I love that. I don't tend to do that. Maybe I should think about doing that, but most of the time I just deliver the message as I'm told it. However it appears. Sting and all sometimes.
Yeah, it depends on how well I know the person. Like, if I know that if it's in a one-on-one coaching and they know who I am, then bam, like, yeah, absolutely. If I'm speaking on a public stage, I'm going to soften that. I'm going to deliver that message in a way that is can be consumed in a public way without creating trauma.
Yeah, I like that. So, what are you busy working with at the moment? Like, who are you working with? What kind of things are you seeing coming through in the collective at the moment?
I am personally working on my own channeling method. So I've created my own unique channeling method that is channeling mastery, and it's based upon my observation that we are always already channeling. And so yeah, we've all seen someone just have that like knee-jerk emotional reaction, or we've had them ourselves. And that is us channeling a wounded part of ourselves. And so, having observed that, I developed a technique to first of all open the channeling portal through triggering. And so here is here's where I bring that directness into my work, right? And I'll do this in a group, because I've made the group aware that this is what I'll be doing. I'm going to be triggering you now with a various different levels, so that you can feel that trigger, right? And it's a full body where is that trigger? And then we go through the trigger portal, open it up, and then we access that wounded version of self that has been triggered that wants to communicate. We communicate with that version, and then we collapse and integrate, heal that. But having done that, there's the second question that I bring into people's minds. So yes, they're receiving the healing, but they're also asking, how am I receiving this? How has Haley opened this up? How have I been able to go in? How am I having a conversation with another part of myself? Because sometimes we don't even ask ourselves that, right? We're just so used to, having these thoughts and these intrusive thoughts or these feelings, when you're not consciously channeling, that we never really stop to think about how and where and why is this happening, right? And so these are the questions I bring in. And then from there, I reflect back the quantum mechanics. And so I've had people who have realized that they send out tentacles. I've had people with Medusa hair. I've had people who open portals, who have wings, who have waves, all these different types of channels. And so I show people how they channel, right? So first of all, they can open it and close it so that we know, right? Because cl a closed channel is as important as an open channel, as you probably know as well, right? Sometimes I just want peace, right? And for a lot of people who are mediums who are just starting out, it's like I'm getting all these messages all the time, but what's pertinent, what's mine, what's not, da, 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 whom do I give it to? And I am a big believer that just because you receive information for someone doesn't mean that you need to give that to that person. So if you're standing in the grocery store and you know something about the check at the cashier, it's not your place to say anything. I'm a very ethical, I teach ethical channeling practices, I would say. And so yeah, so I teach people how to open and close so that they can just be at peace and be at rest and understand what just this is, so that when they do open their channel for a purpose, they're understanding and they can feel the different frequencies of the beings who are coming in, because they each have their different flavor and distinct frequency blueprint. And so that's what I've been working on at the moment. It's absolutely fascinating. I absolutely adore watching someone be like, oh, that's channeling. And I'm like, yeah, holy. And it just opens them up to the possibilities that are out there.
I love that. Yeah, I love that because you're so right. Everyone does channel quite effortlessly, but I think sometimes what we have to do is instill that confidence, right, and that trust. And I love the part you said about the ethical channeling as well, because I think we all, as human beings and as channelers, we have to get into this situation where we're asking people if they're open to hear what we've got to say. You know, if someone gives me free rein to tell them a message, I'm like, cool, I'll deliver it. But I think there's a lot of people who go on sharing messages and don't even get like full approval from people, you know, and not thinking about the repercussions of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's we need to start thinking more about consent. Right? It's consensual, and I asked for like thrice consent. So if I'm channeling for a big group, right? I say at the beginning, if you ask me a question, put your hand up, you are giving me permission to enter your energy field. And so even then, if someone asks me a question, I'm like, do you give me permission to read your energy? Because otherwise it's icky, and it's more than icky. I feel a little violated when someone slips into my DMs and they have a message from my ancestors. I'm like, no, no, thank you.
Send me your left palm. But those people are usually spammers anyway, to be fair, aren't they? They're usually sending the same copy and paste message to everybody.
That's true. And there are some people who are not scammers and spammers who are using these tactics, and they're just not for me. And it's one of the reasons why empaths get into a lot of trouble, because when you go to someone and they're saying, I'm fine, and you're like, I know you're not fine, I can feel you're not fine, right? The empath, when they get yelled at that point, are like, what did I do? I'm just telling you the truth. Yes, but the person who has said that they don't want to talk about it and that they're fine are telling you their version of the truth that they want you to know right now. I'm not ready to talk. Back off, right? And so when the empath keeps pushing and they're violating that person's energy field and their emotions, that's what it is. That's why people get triggered about by empaths, because they feel violated. You don't tell me how I'm feeling. Right, I'm telling you how I'm feeling. So this is where the emotional intelligence for me comes in.
Yeah, I love that. I think a lot more of that needs to go on online, to be honest.
I agree.
So what does it look like at the moment to work with you? You said you've got your channeling that you're working on. Like what projects or how can people kind of tap into what you're working on at the moment?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. So I have a pre-recorded 5-session you're already channeling mini mind that you can receive right now for $33, just to watch me go through with a group, and you can receive it as well. And all of these questions that I've asked were asked in this mini mind, and so you can start to receive that at a really low cost. And so that's kind of the base level that you can come in at. I also work absolutely one-on-one, because working one-on-one with me, I'll show you how you're channeling in 5, 10 minutes. And then, if we've booked a 1 hour, then we've got the whole rest of the hour to play with it, and to see who comes in. And so an hour with me is certainly life-changing, because yeah, we can just get, when we're doing in a group, I trigger a few different sentences, because I'm reading the entire, the group. But when I'm with you, I'm just whoosh, we get straight in like the mantis, precision. And then I also have my group programs. I mean, I have a range of fun group programs. I have the Keepers of Technology right now, which is where it's my belief that I've been shown that we are all portals to very unique and distinct universes. So when I open people's channels up and portals up, what I'm doing is I'm taking people back to times where they have stored pieces of information and data that are very distinct and unique to them. So for example, Avalon, Atlantis, Lemuria, like, and off planet places like Lyra and Orion. And then we've got in the Mayan portal as well. And what I have been shown is that through the millennia of energy workers being persecuted, we've been on both sides. Most of us have been on both sides, and I am very aware that I have been on the destructive side many times. And I've come
Just
to
kind of
terms.
sent a vision of you with a big sword and all bloodied on your face when you said that. So,
Oh
yeah.
yeah, I mean, I was one of the button pushers in Atlantis. I mean, I'm a genetic engineer, and in this lifetime, I was a genetic engineer back then, and I was not a very nice one. And so, so if you were the ones being persecuted, we buried magic, we buried technology that's like light language and crystal technology and like elemental technology of water bending and all of these abilities that we can't even actually imagine right now. We buried them because we didn't want them to fall into the wrong hands. And if you were on the destructive side of it, the persecution side, we were so affected by our own corruption that we buried that so that we wouldn't be corrupt again and again, right? And so what I've been shown now is that there are plenty of us who are ready to go back to these times and places, reclaim these abilities, so that we can use them for creation in this lifetime. And so I'm taking a group through at the moment, and what is coming through is just mind-blowing. And as a mantis being, right, the data that I'm collecting is so juicy. It makes my mantis very happy. And then my main group signature program is for healers who want to get to 6 figures. And so the first step is to open your channel. The second step is to download your own unique modality. Having a unique modality is something so vital, so that you can stand out in the crowd, be noticed, have a fresh perspective, Right. And then I actually have a practicum that's running in that program, and the community is where the magic is. And everyone is activating each other. They're sharing their own modalities so that they can become certified in their own quantum healing, and then create their own signature online program. And so that's a more business orientated. And then my other programs are kind of just more for what's inside of you waiting to be discovered. Let's go in and take a look. That's kind of my perspective of, one of the reasons I channel is that you and everyone else holds information that I don't have access to, right? Because we're all individual portals to different universes. And so again, as a genetic engineer and mantis, I want to look inside of your portal so that I can receive the information I don't have access to, so that I can have a more complete picture. So that's on a personal note why I do it for sure.
I love that. I love that. It sounds like you've got like a win-win going on there. You're satisfying your mantis needs and your human needs, and also you're like living your purpose, if you like. I don't really like that saying, but do you know what I mean? From a 3D human point of view, I love that.
Absolutely. And that's having, I mean, without going too deeply into my story, I have lived a life of darkness, because of the realization that I don't feel right here in the third dimension. I don't feel right in humanity. This is weird to me. And the whole idea that was shoved down my throat when I was a kid, that, well, if you can't see it, touch it, feel it, explain it, it's not real. And I was so gaslit by that that I took myself through a dark path, because I didn't want to be here anymore. And so going from that, and I'm not talking like homelessness, addiction, abuse, eating disorders, all those kinds of things, to come to where I am now, to feel so comfortable, and to talk about being, channeling the mantis and opening people up, taking them back to these places, and then having them have a visceral experience of it, so that now they are like, oh, what I'm feeling is real, right? I'm what's the opposite of gaslighting?
Empowerment, my tea was saying.
Okay, so yeah, showing them that what they're feeling isn't nonsense, and that they do have these abilities, and to empower them. I don't love that word, but language is language is language, right?
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons why humanity feels limited to a lot of us, is that that translating all of this multidimensional information with the word empowered, or the word love, like the word love doesn't come close to the frequency, right? But yeah, so taking myself through that path, and then watching other people feel just better in themselves, and then going to participate and changing whatever they're here to change. If they're in the education system, or the legal system, or the government system, or the bureaucracy system, all of these different systems, by doing these little pivots, this is how we're changing the world.
I love that. My tea was saying you're giving people permission to kind of really feel into their own skin and be who they're always meant to be.
To be weird, like, and I one of my most recent clients booked me, because she's like, I just want to get really weird. I know there's something weird inside me, and you're the person to get it out. So I'm like, cool.
I love that. Well, weird usually does attract weird, doesn't it? So, that's a really good compliment. And what about, one of the kind of my main kind of I don't want to call it an issue because I think that kind of adds energy to it, but one of the main kind of divides I see is people who are really, really gifted. Remove that piece, thank you. From the metaphysical point of view, they can channel, they can connect, they can instantly transmute, but then they have a real hard time in 3D. They're introverted. Many of us are introverted, and we don't really like hanging around other humans, do we? Like I avoid humans in real life if I can. I'm happy at home with my cats, and my kids and my really close friends. And I think a lot of beings are feeling that pull almost. They want to spend more time in the metaphysical and they don't want to be in the 3D. Like, how do you help people with that kind of push and pull type energy?
Yeah, brilliant question. Thank you so much for asking that, because actually that's one of like, how much do you want me to say here? I'm asking them.
I know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know you do, but some people can't see me. We've been through this before, right? And we don't want to use the word issue, but what we did was we zipped out of physicality and we ascended that way. But that's not the point. The point is to bring physicality with us into the fifth, right? It's to bring all of it together up. It's all well and good to be like, "Woo, I've escaped the matrix and I hang out in the 12th dimension." And I'm like, "Get your ass back down in here."
Yeah.
And so it's really that embodiment piece and becoming more and more comfortable with who you are, removing the distortions of now, of the fear of being a magical being, of being seen, of walking your mission. And that's what I was talking about with the persecution, like which side you've been on. And most of us have been on both sides, whether we're willing to admit it or not, to come to terms with what we've done, to come to terms with what has been done to us. I mean, the witch wound is a great example that a lot of people can connect in with, because a lot of us were, burned and stabbed and hung and buried alive and dragged through the streets and had our husbands standing and watching with our while our kids got pulled away. And oh, my favorite is being flung off a cliff to see if we could fly.
Okay. I've got a really weird sense of humor, so I laugh at like really inappropriate things.
Oh, so do I. Being put in a cage under the ocean, that's another good one.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So a lot of people can connect in with that. And so let me just get the words. The reason why it's easier to zip off out of our bodies is that the bodies are the ones that hold the emotions, right? Where we hold the pain, we hold the suffering. And so by doing this kind of work to access those lifetimes and to access the emotion and the pain through the trigger, right, which is why what I do is important, I feel. We get to understand and collapse and actually just hold space for those beings so that they can come on board, right? So if we have won our primary consciousness going, I want to talk on these big stages and channel the mantis and do all the things and change the world, but we've got like 100,000 aspects of self going, no.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to be because of that tug war, like you mentioned, it's easier just to fuck this. Let's zip out into the quantum where we manifest instantaneously. We don't have to speak language. We just communicate telepathically. Everything's light speed. Ah, I feel so much more. The third dimension to us feels goopy, dense, slow, boring. Like manifestation takes effort. What? Because we have to talk language, fuck off, right? And so it's coming to terms with physicality and actually realizing that the third dimension doesn't work in the way we've been told it works, right? What if the third dimension isn't slow? It's not goopy. What if we can communicate telepathically because we can? What if we can do X, Y, and Z? And that's what we're reclaiming now. And so the advice would be is to go in and do your past life trigger work. It's just shadow work. And the witch wound didn't originate in the Salem witch trials. It originated all the way back in Avalon, all the way back in Atlantis, right? And so going back, all the way back, going off planet, going back to where we've destroyed, in the Orion War was a really, really long war with trillions of souls. You were there, I promise. Right? So going back to these times and places, and I can feel some of the listeners go, "Ooh, that's scary," right? And so going in with someone who can take you there safely into your darkness is, to me, how we feel more comfortable in duality and in physicality in the third dimension, because the third dimension is just duality, right? And for a lot of us, we were told love and light is the way. And so for me, it was like I have to ignore and resist my darkness. But now it's like, how can I expand in and be comfortable with it all? That's being comfortable in the third dimension for me.
I love that. There's loads there. Yeah, I think people will be generally panicking on the about amount of work that they'll need to do after that, what you've just said.
And I would like to say that it can be done really quickly, right? Just because we're going back billions of years doesn't mean that it's going to take billions of years. We can go right back there, and a lot. And so here's just a tool for us to start using is where are you feeling scared to talk about your abilities, to make money using your abilities? Because a lot of people have that wound, right? I can't make money, I can't be seen, it's scary. Where do you feel like, and start to ask yourself, why am I scared that I'm going to be silenced? Because that's common. Am I scared that I'm going to be corrupt and greedy, right? Which of it is coming first? Because the next the other one will come right behind it. In my experience. But so just being really curious.
I think my team want to talk about money because I it's the problem that I find money such a weird subject because I think like there's so many more important topics that people could speak about other than money, right? But money seems to be on everyone's lips like all of the time, and I'm not one of those people that say no, you shouldn't charge, and money's that important, and money doesn't give you freedom and choices. But like, what's your view on money? Like, how do people? What do you usually see around money issues and money wounds, and how do you see people like bridging that gap into a world of what I would call abundance rather than wealth? Because I think abundance is more important, right, than just wealth. I see a lot of really wealthy, really sick or ill or unhappy people. So I think it has to be about abundance, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I feel wealth built from a place of scarcity, it will never bring abundance, right? But wealth built from a place of worthiness, empowerment, and purpose, has a different frequency. A lot of money wounds are so many. It can be ancestral. Right. I mean, we've been told from the baby boomers that, we got to work hard for our money. Right. And I mean, I watched my dad go to work every single day. And I'm very aware that when I've got my child and he's just getting ready for school to not be working all the time. Right. And so, yeah, it's generational, it's ancestral. And then it's also from this persecution of like, I can't be seen to talk about this. And there's so much programming around money being evil. Why do you think that they told us money was evil? To keep us working class, right? To keep us to have little, right? So that the people who have all of this wealth know that that's not true. But so it's programming. It's programming, it's ancestral, it's persecution and it's corruption. So it's all of these things. And there's something else that wants to come through. What do you want them to say? What do you want to know? Yeah, they're like, yeah, but they're trying to get my attention back to this one thing. Because what was your original question? How do people overcome it?
Yeah, how do people, in your experience, how do people move through many wounds?
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Like you, I don't really focus on the money wounds itself. Abundance tends to come for my people from expanding into it all, right? And so all of this trigger work and the past life work and opening up your channel, we look at programming, right? If we look at NLP, we look at CBT, we look at, your behavior patterns, we look at your thought patterns, we look at the actual 3D part of, your psyche and your experience, your lifetime experience, as well as the quantum things, the past life and the Akashics and all of that. And so by looking at it and exploring yourself from a place of curiosity and observation, these things just fall away because when you see, when so for example, for me, when I went into the quantum consciously for the first time and realized that the third dimension, there's not just one, right? There's not just one dimension. And so that is completely being gaslit. When I realized that, it just, that programming just went away because I saw it. That's why channeling to me is the basis of everything I do, because when you have a visceral experience and you see it, when you see for a fact that money isn't evil, it's a frequency that allows you to have more time with your kids and to travel and to do all these things. It just goes away. It just dies. The programming dies when you consciously are aware of something bigger. And then, so where my people become abundant is exactly that. Where are you hiding behind someone else's dogma? Where are you hiding behind someone else's modality, right? Express that which makes you unique. Stand out from the crowd, right? And really embody that version of yourself, and abundance comes.
Yeah, that's true. One of the reasons why we started this podcast actually is to share the stories of people and to show to other people that you don't need the modalities. And that was one of the really strong messages that came through the back end of last year, is that there are so many like pillars that are breaking down and dissolving, and modalities are just kind of like almost like tools taken from other people, but they're not enough anymore. So I love that the same messages are coming through you as well. Like I always love listening to other people channeling and seeing the synchronicities in the work that what I've seen from other people, but the work that we're doing as well, and just saying, you know, everybody seems to be moving in the same direction, which I find always so beautiful.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Reiki is a great starting point. If you've got nowhere else to start, Reiki's a great because it opens that portal, right? And so Reiki is a portal itself. And like you were saying, Reiki isn't enough. If you want to attract massive abundance, Reiki's not going to do it for you, because there are thousands of Reiki masters being spat out every weekend now. Right? And so if and right, I'm not poo-pooing Reiki at all, but if you can see it as a starting point, a platform to jump off into this work, beautiful. And actually, a lot of people who come to me have so many different certifications. They got so many bits and pieces. They got the QHHT and the Reiki and the Theta and the breath work. And they're still struggling because I don't. Ugh. And so when I ask them, well, what do you do? They're like, well, it's so, because we know as energy workers that all of these things solve every problem. But if you don't have a point of view, then you can't speak to that person, right? So what I do in my signature program, it's called Infinite Intuition, with my healers to get to six figures, is exactly that. Let's get all your puzzle pieces, flip them all over. And that's not just your energy work. Like, what were your education and career choices? Because the genetic engineering and the quantum physics and the NLP and the CBT for me have all come into this, everything that I do. And then, even working in a fast food restaurant when you were, 13, you learned organizational skills, you learned interpersonal skills, you learned emotional intelligence. So bringing it all in, and then looking at the challenges and problems that you have overcome again and again and again and again. You're actually an expert in something that you're just not quite aware of yet. And when you actually understand that, and you shine all of these puzzle pieces through that, your point of view, that's when people are magnetized to you. Not when you're like, oh, I can do all of this. Yeah, you can do all of that. Through your point of view, that's the point.
Yeah, it's so true. It's like if you write down your origin story from when you're about 15 up until now, then you're gonna find points in your life where you've guided yourself through the biggest fuck ups ever, right? And that is your
Miserable.
superpower.
Definitely. Yeah. And so when I did this, my story, it's really existential dread, and the boredom of the third dimension is the problem that I overcome, that I help other people overcome, because of exactly what you said. Like, I don't think I like it here. And like looking around at people, like the question I always had was like, how do people get up and go to work every day? How do they get married and have kids and buy a house and have a mortgage? It's like, I was dumbfounded. And I mean, in my journey, I tried that mask on too. Like I traveled for 10 years completely by myself, barefoot, like learning from every guru. Like I climbed to the tops of mountains in Indonesia and saw, people saw seeing a white person for the first time, literally an alien walking into their village. Like I did that for 10 years. And then after that, when I came to Canada, I decided, well, let's try a different thing because I'm tired of this now. And so I got married and I bought the house and I had the child and I was still like, nope. And so I gave away the husband and I gave away the house. I
You
kept the
kept
child.
the
Kept the
child.
child. But now I live a really interesting life that I touched upon earlier is that when I have my child for 2 weeks, I live in his house. So this is actually the house that I bought with my husband. And so when I have Wolf, I'm here and my ex-husband is away. And then when it's my turn to go away, my ex-husband comes in to stay with Wolf, and I fly and I have an apartment down in the city. I go down to the States, I go to retreats, I do whatever I want. And so this is such a beautiful lifestyle. I can't remember what my point was. There was a point, the masking. And so my life has been one of like, all right, well, let's destroy yourself for drugs. This isn't working. Let's destroy yourself through abusive relationships. Well, that didn't work. Let's destroy yourself, and then okay, fine. Let's go travel and let's expand, right? And yeah, that worked for a while, but so let's get married. That didn't work. So now, right now, I'm doing this, and eventually that will stop working too. So it's So my life is about curiosity. It's about exploring what's fucking available. Right. And I tell this story because a couple of years ago, when I was stuck in my own words here, and I mean, this town is close to the Alaskan border. It is cold. It is dark. It is isolated. There are no one who looks like me. It's Dutch reformist, right? It was the perfect projection of how I felt inside. Cold, dark, isolated, weird, right? Abandoned, all these things. And so if I could go back to those two, like that person 2 years ago, and show her what's possible, because a lot of mothers especially feel trapped by their co-parenting, situations. And so I tell this story to be like, if you can imagine it, like we said at the beginning, you can make it reality. I love how when conversations come full circle.
I love that. Yeah, but it's so important because I think the message coming through to go on top of that is you get to decide, right? Always. And if it's not working, like I always say, you're not a fucking tree. You're not so planted that you can't move.
It can feel like that sometimes, and it does take a lot of fucking courage sometimes to say what you want. And again, doing all of the work around speaking your truth and then taking action, because action is the third dimension, right?
Yeah, some people forget that action bit. So, where or actually, no, my team just want to say, or taking too much action, stepping into the hustling mode. We see that a lot, I think, in the coaching industry, especially amongst women. Stepping too much into that hustling mode, whereas actual time, the universe will bring you everything you need if you make space and you align, you slow down.
Yeah, that's the embodiment piece. That's the being piece, right? So bringing those high frequencies down into the third dimension, holding it in duality and in gravity, right? And then can you just hold it and do nothing? That's doing something.
Yeah, it's definitely a practiced art as well, isn't it? I mean, we call it surrender, but I don't think surrender encompasses the whole extent of what it actually is. It like the doing nothing piece, because actually the doing nothing piece is almost the part of the biggest challenge of being here, right?
Yeah, it takes a lot of focus, right? And so how can you be relaxed and focused? I mean, and that's what channeling is, and right? To relax your nervous system so that you can open yourself up and focus on a certain energy, right? And when the beings are like fighting for your attention, you're like, okay, no, you,
Yeah,
right?
sit down, shut up, take a ticket to fall in line.
Exactly. Yeah.
They show me an image of all like taking a little ticket, you know, when you go to the cheese counter, or so I don't know if you have those in Canada, but the little cheese counter that you have in the UK. You don't sound like you're from the UK, by the way. That's a bit of a curveball question, but your accent.
Yeah, I was born in Australia to English parents, lived in the UK for a while, lived around the world for 10 years, and then I've been here for 11.
Okay, yeah, I can't place your accent at all. I could place like little bits here and there, and I'm like, oh, I can't place that.
I lived on the Isle of Skye for a few years and I picked up a little bit of the Highland accent for a while. So that's a bit of a mongrel. Actually,
yeah,
I'm
that's
coming
probably
back to the
it.
Isle of Skye in September for an in-person retreat where I'm going to be teaching people how to open up their channels and then channel the Avalon parts of themselves and the dragons and the Avalon magic. And so, yeah, if you wanted to come up to the Isle of Skye, it's a very magical place.
Oh wow, I've never been. Yeah, and my team is saying you almost sound like you've got a Dutch accent, but you're English. Does that make sense? I don't know if you've got any connections to Holland or
I mean, I've been to Amsterdam and I got high on mushrooms, but that's my connection to
my gosh, I haven't done that yet. People keep telling me where to go and pick them, but I just haven't got round to picking season in the UK.
Oh, you haven't done mushrooms ever?
I did them like in my 20s, but I was already high on something else, so I think it kind of, you know, I used to be a raver back in the day, so I just used to munch my way through anything that anyone gave me, if I'm honest.
So was I.
Yeah.
I'm sure we would have met up in the caverns of the drum and bass in London
Drum
and
and
just
bass, definitely,
everywhere. Yeah. All right, I do have to go and take my kid to a school.
go. Yeah, we'll
What a
catch up
great,
another.
thank you so much for having me on. What a great conversation.
Yeah, thank you so much, Hayley. I think we should continue this conversation between us another time.
I would love that. And I'll send you some links for people to kind of hop on to look at my bits and pieces and I would love to, yeah, if you wanted to reach out to me on Facebook or Instagram, TikTok, I'm on all of those. Hayley Frey at Wilson.
Brilliant. Yeah, we'll make sure your link's in the right place when we post the podcast anyway. And
Beautiful.
have a lovely day.
You too. Thank you so much.
All right, you take care. Bye bye.
I know.